Hello, this is Kerwin, and welcome to another episode of What's Happening Travel with Kushu and Kerwin. This is Kerwin. Kushu is not here today. As you can see, my background is still the Boeing 737 MAX 9, and it's because I have an update. It's kind of not really an update. Well, it's an update. I'll jump right into it. Sorry about the lighting again. I am not in my home studio. I'm actually traveling. And so the lighting in this room is really awful. But I'm sorry about the background noise that you may hear from time to time. So as you know, in the episode 117, I spoke about the Alaska Airlines flight that had a depressurization on takeoff because the exit door plug fell out. And they have found the plug. And it was in a teacher's backyard in the Portland area, and so that's a good thing because now they can look at the plug and they can see if they how it was installed, if the holes for the bolts and stuff like that. So the NTSB is still doing it. It's an active investigation. There's lots of speculation, lots and lots of speculations. However, nothing is finalized because it is still an ongoing investigation. So please do not speculate as to what could have happened. There is a lot of evidence that they're going to get from all that, and also they're trying to see if they can find the bolts that would have secured the door plug. That really is like looking for a needle in a haystack. However, though. The there was a they found an iPhone that was plugged in at the time, and the iPhone got sucked out, and they found it. And only where they know it's the same thing. For some reason, it was stuck on the screen that showed that they paid for two bags on that particular flight, but the phone was intact. The only thing was that the plug that came out of the phone was torn. Now, the internet is weird because you can't always believe everything that you see or hear, but that those are the reports that are coming out at the moment. The FAA has grounded the MAX 9s, and I can read something from their website. It says, for the safety of American travelers, with the FAA will keep this from the FAA.gov website. The FAA will keep the Boeing 737-9 MAX grounded until extensive inspection and maintenance is conducted and data from inspections is reviewed. This was on Friday, the 12th of January. And it says that we're working to make sure that nothing like this happens again. Our only concern is the safety of American travelers, and the Boeing 737-9 MAX will not return to the skies until we're entirely satisfied it is safe. After reviewing Boeing's proposed inspection and maintenance instructions, the FAA determined it needed additional data before approving them. Accordingly, the FAA is requiring plug door inspections of 40 aircraft. So they're still trying to figure out what's going on. Upon a full review of the data, the FAA will make a determination whether the instructions satisfy compliance with the highest standards of safety, et cetera. So what does this mean for you, though? It means that as a traveler, you're going to have issues because United and Alaska Airlines are the two biggest operators of the 737 MAX 9. Matter of fact, I was coming back from Los Angeles, actually from Las Vegas, from CES, and you can actually go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/cruisingaltitude, and you can see a lot of the videos that I took at CES. But slight digression. So I was coming back from CES. And I was flying United. They actually have a really good schedule coming back from Las Vegas to Houston. So typically, I could leave at like 12, I think it was 12:59 a.m. the next day, and arrive in Houston at 5:30 in the morning or something like that. So it's perfect. So I was able to do my complete CES on the last day without having to get a hotel night. So that worked out perfectly. So, and plus, they had a really good fare. Everybody else was at least $100 more. And so that worked out really nicely. I'll get back to the fare thing in just a little bit because it's an interesting fare that I got. So I was scheduled to fly on a MAX 8. and they switched the airplane to it was a 737-800 instead of the MAX 8. And when I checked in, it gave me an option to change my flights to a later flight if they needed it. Unfortunately, they didn't, because otherwise I could have spent another night in Las Vegas, did my third day of CES, and then was able to fly out. But I didn't have such luxuries. They didn't need my seat. Matter of fact, that flight was weight restricted for some reason. But I was able to get out on that flight as a revenue customer, and I think they even had some standbys out there on. So this is affecting the flight schedules. A lot of the flights they are booked, and they you can imagine airlines, they have all this stuff fly arranged, and now this comes in. That's because the schedules are extremely tight, and there's a lot of people traveling. Coming back from Vegas, even on that night flight, the airport was very, very crowded. So the airlines are having a hard time doing all that. And what you may find is if they have a cancellation, they may end up putting people on other airlines and giving refunds and things like that. So this is going to be a very, very costly thing for Boeing, since they're the persons who make the airplane. In terms of cancellations too, if you're currently on a MAX, the flight may be canceled or they'll rebook you on something else. Remember, if your flight gets canceled, you're entitled to a full refund. What I've noticed some of the schedules when I look at the Alaska and the Boeing schedule and the United schedules, it's still, if you're in a MAX 9, it still shows that it's been operated by a MAX 9 because they haven't yet canceled it. And sometimes with the airlines, when they swap equipment, you never see the swap in what you're looking at. It still shows the old aircraft that was in there. So what you need to do as a consumer is pick up the phone or go online and get in touch with the airline. If your flight is canceled or changed, I had an equipment swap, and I didn't get a notification that I had an equipment swap. Now, I didn't have a seat assignment as yet because I was telling you I got a special fare. So I bought a basic economy fare. But because I'm a United, I have a United credit card, it gives me, I board in group two. So I didn't have to board in the N group. Plus, I was able to take, whatever bags I had, I could check for free. And I wasn't subject to all the rules, although the system still tell me that I was subject to the rules for basic economy fare. But when I checked in, I was not because I have the status. Because normally I would have boarded at like group six or seven or something at the back, but I boarded as group two, which was priority access. And that's only because I have the United Presidential Plus card, which they no longer have. So that worked out really nicely. So that's the thing. Whenever you buy the cheapest fare, if you have status with the airline, the status that you have with the airline, either through being a Premier member or have a special credit card at airline, it overrides the basic economy status. Now you still get crappy miles for it, or in some cases, like with Delta, you get no miles. So instead of getting like maybe 100%, you may get 50% or 60% or something like that. So just look in the airline rules and you'll find that out. So that's the status of the MAX. The MAX 9s are not flying, the MAX 8s are flying. But the airlines are juggling the schedules so they can get people where they need to go. I think the other item was there was also an accident. On a this happened before the MAX occurred, and this was a Japan Airlines flight was on a domestic routing, and it was landing in Haneda. Now Tokyo has two airports, Tokyo Haneda, which sits close to the city, and Tokyo Narita, which is out in Narita, which a little ways outside the city. Years ago, everybody, all the U.S. airlines used to fly in Narita. But now they're actually flying in both Narita and Haneda. Haneda is much closer and it's more convenient. So the fares might be a little higher to Haneda. But Haneda is an airport that the airlines, Japan Airlines and ANA use as like shuttle service to get people from like Sapporo, Fukuoka, and a few others. And they move a lot of people each time. So they use a special configuration. So they used to use a 747-400Ds, which is a 747-400, but it never had the winglets because there were special configurations, and they were like over four or five. I think at 550 is what they used to hold. And you get on, and everybody put their bags up quickly. Actually, some people don't even have bags because the flights are like an hour. And then you get to your destination and you get off and you're done. Now, when this accident happened, the Japanese are very orderly. And so you can see from some of the videos, they're just waiting on the commands from the flight attendants. Because the thing when an accident happens in an airplane is you don't just go and do what you want. The flight attendants are skilled and they're trained. And what they're looking for is they're all communicating with each other. And so let's say the airplane crash and the door nearest to you is on fire. You clearly can't go through that door. So the flight attendant and the crew will instruct you to go to another door. And so you need to wait for that instruction to see. Now, of course, everything is all fluid, right? If something happens to the flight attendant, then you just take over or whatever it is. But typically, you need to wait for the instructions of the crew so you can know what to do because you don't know the full situation and they're all communicating with each other when these things happen. And they will utter the command. And I actually was on a flight going from Paris to Vienna on Air France. And we had a nose gear indicator that said the nose gear wasn't coming down. And everyone was in full crash mode. The flight attendant came up to the front. She gave the entire briefing. We were told to get our jackets, put our jackets, it was winter, put our jackets on. And it was a very, very scary situation. And then, she said, when we land or we crash land, here's what you need to do when you go. And they did the whole brace position. It's like an enhanced version of the normal safety briefing that you see. And it was one of those things you thought, well, this is the end, right? Luckily, when we landed, the nose gear did not collapse. And so we were okay. Well, we were able to walk off the plane. Normally, I went to our next destination, right into Dubrovnik at the time. It was myself and four others, three others was on that flight. And so it is a very different situation when that happened. And so this airplane crashed and it hit. What happened was there was another airplane that was on the run, was a Coast Guard, because Japan just had an earthquake. Because it just had an earthquake, the Coast Guard was ferrying people, officials back and forth to the city that had issues. And some of the crew members on that plane died. The pilot was okay. We had injuries, but he didn't die. And but what happened was, for some reason, that airplane was on the runway, and the A350-900 from Japan Airlines was landing, and it basically hit that airplane on landing. Fireball erupted. Airplane eventually stopped. They got everybody off of that plane. Some people were injured, but nobody was died. And also the interesting thing is people got off without their bags. And one of the things is that they probably didn't have any bags. Because I've been on those flights, like I said, and it's very orderly and people don't really carry bags or anything with them. They just get on, they stow their bags if they had them, sit down, and then they go. That one, of course, is still being investigated. And so, little reports are coming out, but again, they're still, because it just happened, they're still being investigated. So the year hasn't started off very well in terms of airline crashes, because we've had two so far. And this after having, I think last year we didn't really have any, or if we did, they were minor. But albeit to say, air travel is extremely safe. When these accidents happen or incidents happen, it is because a series of things has occurred. Like with this Max 9, there's a series of things that are coming up that has happened before. And so once the report is done, and I can report on it, but you just hear all like this happened, that happened, that happened, and that's usually what leads to the crash. The good thing about these crashes, if there is a good thing, is that they end up changing procedures and protocols as a result of the crash because we've learned something from what happened on here. One of the guys on the airplane, I think he was in the middle seat. There was nobody at the window seat, and his shirt was ripped off. So just imagine how much force that was that took his shirt. He didn't go out because he had his seatbelts on. Now, when the airplane, as soon as we take off, if you listen, you'll hear, or we land, you'll hear click, 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 click all through the cabin. It's because people are releasing their seatbelts. Now, the captain says, keep your seatbelts on like we do in the cockpit, even when you're seated. So I hope that, people, the ones who normally release their seatbelts will not do that on these airplanes because it is a serious problem. If that person did not have their seatbelt on, they would have been through the door. Now, and other people around would have probably been the same way. Because the videos are pretty horrific, but you see, imagine you're landing and you can see a hole in the side, and you can look outside and you see the lights in the plane flashing and things like that. So, keep your seatbelts on, please. They're not kidding when they say you should keep your seatbelts on. So those are the two, incident and accident. I explained the difference between the two. Pretty much incidents where no one dies, and accidents is when somebody dies on the flight. But check your schedules before you fly. Check with the airlines. If you want to know, I think I mentioned before, if you want to know what aircraft you're flying on, go on the website and pull up your reservation. It should tell you what aircraft you're flying on. Aviation is a very, very, very safe transportation method. I can't stress that more. Typically, the pilots, if a light comes on in the cockpit, the flight will be delayed, and they will try to figure out what that is. Problem is that it takes a while, right? And sometimes they have rolling delays. Rolling delay means that the delay just keep going on and on and on and on. I had a friend who was stuck in Omaha. He had like a 25-hour delay because of weather that was happening. So things happen, but just remember that the airline, your safety is the first thing, is a top priority. I think that's all the news that I have. The other thing is, if you're going to Brazil as a US citizen, in a few months, you will have to get a visa again. They had stopped the visa process for a while, and now they have a new government, and the new government says you need a visa. So you need to get a visa when you're going to Brazil in a few months. Just again, go to travel.state.gov, search for Brazil, and it'll tell you what you need. The other country now, in the complete opposite, Turkey has, you no longer need a visa to get Turkey. Normally, you can do the visa on arrival, and it used to be $54.50 or something like that, or $51.50. You don't need that anymore. So when you go to Turkey, you'll be fine. No visa is required for Turkey. That's some visa updates. That's all I have. Have a good week and have a good trip. And as soon as I hear more about what's going on with the Max 9, I will be sure. And and if you happen to live in that Portland airport area, keep being on the lookout for debris that would have come off of that aircraft. The guy did find a door in his backyard, and someone, I think they found their cell phone on the side of the road or something like that. But quite bizarre. But keep an eye out. This is Kerwin with PassRider.com, cruisingon2.com. Have a great trip, and we'll talk soon.